Lord, it's a good day to be with each other as y'all are greeting and coming in and being seated. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad. Let's start our service this morning inviting the Holy Spirit to be among us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome in this place. Come, make our hearts free. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Y'all say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Well, today has been titled God Bless America Sunday. Or at least that's what Brother Fred used when he texted me this week. So I liked it. We're going with it. Psalm 33, verses 11 through 12. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. May we sing the lyrics from our first song this morning as a prayer. God, mend thine every flaw, because we got plenty of them, individually and as a nation. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty and law. May God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Wouldn't this country look a lot different if we really had brotherhood from sea to shining sea? May that be our prayer this morning. We're going to sing America the Beautiful. It is hymn number 759 in the hymnal, and the words will be on the screen. You're welcome to stand. You're welcome to remain seated. But let's just use this as a prayer for the Lord to crown his good in this country.
Thank you.
Brother Fred, would you like to open us in prayer this morning?
Father, we come this morning, Lord, and our hearts are full of love for you. Love that is immeasurable. Love that's abounding. Love that knows no ends. Lord, we thank you for that love today. Lord, as we gather this morning, Lord, we gather to worship and praise and honor the name of Jesus. Lord, may he be glorified today in our service. Oh, thank you today for the privilege of having been born and lived in this great country. Lord, we know that if it hadn't been for you, this country would not have been the great country it has been. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit now may come. Lord, we've already asked, and Lord, we're ready to receive your Spirit today. Lord, may our words be acceptable to your sight. May our thoughts, our prayers, honor and glorify Jesus. In his name that we pray. Amen and amen.
This morning I was just on the internet looking for different things, and I ran across the presidential proclamation regarding the 250th anniversary of the Battle of Bunker Hill, which was on June 17th. And so I'm not going to read the whole proclamation, but here's part of it. After two failed assaults, the Redcoats launched a third charge up the hill. The Patriots, nearly out of ammunition, met the British in brutal hand-to-hand combat. Though ultimately forced to retreat, the colonists inflicted staggering losses. More than 1,000 British soldiers were killed or wounded, compared to 450 Americans. Charleston was left in ruins, but the American spirit stood taller than ever. Though the British claimed the ground that history would remember as Bunker Hill, it was the Patriots who claimed the victory of morale, etched not in territory, but in valor. Proving, and I really like this statement, proving that the cause of freedom, once awakened, is an unstoppable force. The cause of freedom is God-given. God-breathed. God gives us our first freedom before America gave us our freedom. So we're going to sing the Star-Spangled Banner. I couldn't help but think of that phrase, calls of freedom, when you think about the words and what the Star-Spangled Banner represents. But I love the words in one of the verses, and we're going to sing this verse as well. Everybody knows the first verse, but this other verse is not as well known. We've sung it before because I like it. But this morning as we sing the Star-Spangled Banner, may we praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. And may we thank him for our freedom. So you're welcome to stand with me. You're welcome to remain seated. But we're going to sing, well, I guess you can't remain seated for the Star-Spangled Banner. So if you would stand with me.
Streaming and the world is a
about y'all, but I could just listen to Fred play that for a little while. You may be seated. Announcements this morning. Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m., our group that meet for breakfast at Jack's in Trustville on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11. Again, that's Tuesday morning at 9:30. Wednesday night Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, studying the Book of Acts. On Sunday mornings, well, I think we all know, but we have Sunday school at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11 here in the Worship Center. Our next game night is Friday, July the 18th, at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Coming up July 18th through 25th is Brasher Springs Camp Meeting. Jane, who heads up the kitchen crew there every year, she has asked first and foremost for us to pray for the camp and the meeting and for the Holy Spirit to be there to move and to change lives. Also pray for those who are working that week in the kitchen and teaching and preaching and leading worship. Pray for them, for the Holy Spirit to fill them with the words and the guidance that everyone there needs that week. And, of course, desserts and breakfast pastries. And everybody can always use financial donations. So if you have any questions, Jane, I know we'll be happy to talk to you about it and how we can help out. Other mission opportunities, we're collecting items for Three Hots in a Cot. Also, items for our food pantry. Lists are on the back information table if you would like to know what items to bring, and the collection boxes are in the back. Be in prayer for Brother Fred and Diane's son, Richard, as he is preparing for the short-term mission trip to Jamaica, July 19th through 26th. Just be in prayer for the Holy Spirit to go before them and prepare the way. Upper rooms are on the back information table for you to pick up. The July-August editions are back out there if you need to. You know, June's about to run out, so if you need to pick up July, they're back there. Emails go out on Friday with our announcements and our prayer list. If you have anything you would like to add to the announcements or the prayer list, just let Cindy know. If you're also not receiving the email and would like to, you can let Cindy know. Call the church office and leave a message. Pass Cindy a note. Don't tell her. Give her a note so she'll remember. Or text her. And or you can email at clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com. Let's spend a few moments together in prayer. Together with our Lord, just go to Him and be grateful to Him for all that He has done. And then I'll close us in prayer in a few moments. Heavenly Father, may we remember Your deeds, O Lord. May we remember Your miracles throughout the generations. May we consider all Your works and meditate on all Your mighty deeds, for Your ways are holy. Who is as great as You, God? No one. Lord, we thank You for the freedom that You have given us for living in this land. Lord, but we thank You most for the freedom that You give us, the freedom You give us to choose to live in Your Spirit rather than in our own wickedness. We acknowledge that You bless Your people to be blessings to all the world. We bring our talents, our tithes, our offerings, our worship, and give them to You for Your glory to be seen by all throughout the world. Oh, Father, we lift up those on our prayer list and those in our hearts to You, Lord. We ask You to meet them where they are and to meet their needs. We give You thanks, praise, honor, and adoration, Lord, for all that You do and all that You will do. For Thine, Lord, is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And it is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people say, Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then verses 13 through 25. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. But they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When I came across those verses this morning, I thought they were quite appropriate for the next hymn we're going to sing, If My People Pray. And we all know the verses that comes from: humble ourselves, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways. We can only do that by walking in the Spirit. That's not of us. That's of Him. That's of the Spirit. Galatians 5:13, again, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. What a difference that would make in our country, in our churches, in our families, if we served one another humbly in love. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. So this morning, as we sing, If My People, let's humble ourselves and go to Him and seek His face. We know that God blesses His people, but He doesn't bless His people just so we're better than everybody else. He blesses His people so that we reach out and that we show His love and His light to the world. So if you're willing and able, please stand with me as we sing If My People Will Pray. It's hymn number 627 in the hymnal, and the words are on the screen.
Our sermon this morning, I want to thank each one of you and just tell you how much you mean to me. Needless to say, this is a rough go, but you have made it lighter. All your cards, phone calls, text, your words of encouragement, and most of all, your love has meant so very much to me. Like I said last week, I wouldn't be standing here without God, but I wouldn't be standing tall without you. So thank you so much. Every 4 years, we are forced to watch and listen to this insanity of a presidential election. Amen? It seems that every candidate, they want to come up with this catchy phrase or catchy slogan, right? Now, I'm sure many of you are too young to remember this, but the New Deal, or even maybe a time for greatness. One of them had, "Yes, America can." Another one said, "A change we can believe in." Another one had the slogan, "A leader for a change." One of them said, "Just build back America," you know? But more recently, just this past year, "Make America Great Again." Now, let's face it. In reality, these are just slogans, right? There's no guarantee that anything will change or anything will occur from these slogans. Many times their slogans are never remembered once they're elected to office. You never hear of them again. This morning, I've borrowed one of their slogans, but I've turned it into a question rather than a statement. Now, here's my slogan question. Who can make America great again? I love America. I'm a patriot. I'm a veteran. It's the land of the free, the home of the brave. And as citizens of this great land, and I said citizens, okay? We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That right of life, of liberty, of the pursuit of happiness. But I guess over the last few decades, we kind of, you know, put a little too much emphasis on that pursuit of happiness thing, right? Folks, this morning, we are blessed. We're blessed. Blessed to live in this great country where freedom rings. And we can sit here today without fear. Without fear that some government official or soldier is going to come through those doors and arrest us for worshiping our God. If you're thankful for that, say amen. If you're thankful for that, say amen. Thank you. However, for some time in our country, there's been a growing element that would like to destroy our freedoms. Those freedoms that you and I hold so dear. Some want socialism over democracy. Some would like to see Sharia law become the law of the land. While others, they just follow the deceptions of Satan and live like the devil wants them to. We've turned away from the Judeo-Christian ethic that our country was founded on. Evil is rampant in our world today, isn't it? It's rampant right here in our beloved country. In some respects, Satan is winning today. He's winning the hearts and minds of our younger generations. The very generations that have not gone to church as children. They've not heard the stories of the Old Testament characters. They don't even know who Jesus is and what He's done for them. In that respect, it's a sad day. But I'm here today with good news of great joy. I'm not an angel. I'm far from it. But I know a man who was born of a virgin. I know a man who lived a sinless life. I know a man who turned the water into wine. I know a man today that healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, raised the dead. I know a man who gave himself to be crucified, shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all sin. I know a man who defeated Satan. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. I know a man who rose again and is alive today. I know a man who right this very moment is preparing a place for you and for me. For all of us who believe in His name. A place where we're going to live forever. And I know a man who one day is coming back. And He's going to take us home to be with Him. Forever. And for the purpose of our sermon today, I know a man who can make America great again. His name's not Donald Trump. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's the only one who can. You see, making America great again, it starts with God. In the 2 Chronicles 7:14 that we just sung, God makes a promise. God makes that promise. Not a politician, not anybody else. He makes the promise. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. If they will pray. If they'll seek my face. Stop their old evil ways. I'll hear from heaven. And I, God, will forgive their sin. He's the only one that can. And I, God, will heal their land. What a promise. America is a nation made of families. Our God ordained the institution of marriage, male and female only, which created the family. And folks, it's the family that holds America together, that's held America together. Now, and just any families? No. Godly, God-fearing families. Think of this verse. What is it saying? Is it saying if all families who love God turn and seek His face? No. If my people, my people, then I can make America great again. Now, who's doing the making? Politicians? No way. God. For so many years now, our nation's families have been the victim of vicious satanic attacks. The moral fiber of our nation has declined. If you brought back people from 50 years ago, they would not believe this was the same country they left. The church allowed, the people of God allowed the Bible and prayer to be taken out of our school. Nativity scenes can't be on public property anymore. They offend people. We've had our schools turned upside down. We've allowed the lie of evolution to be taught and to twist the minds of our young people. And we... We've just sat back and watched all this happen. Oh, millions of babies have been sacrificed, have been slaughtered because we have not stood on the Word of God. It's past time, folks, to make America great again. It is time for us through God to take back what Satan has stole from us. Some say that making America great again is possible if we elect the right people to lead our nation. Now, it's good if we elect people that will uphold the Bible, that will uphold biblical principles that our nation was founded upon. But please hear me on this. No politician, absolutely no politician will ever make America great again. The greatness of this country is dependent upon God working through God-fearing families in this land. His people. Without strong families, America will fall. Most of all, without God, all of our ambitions of this great society, of this great America, they'll fail. Who can make America great again? Many of you have already answered that. Jesus. Come on. Who will make America great again? That's the who. The WHO. Now let's move to the what question. What can make America great again? I got a few ideas about this. Biblical ideas. Men. You hear me? Men who will stand up and be men and fulfill their God-given role as the spiritual leader of the home. Men, that's your responsibility. And oh, how we failed at that. If it hadn't been for our women, our children would never have been raised in the Christian faith. We've allowed our women, our wives, to take the kids to church. Our wives have prayed with them by their bedside. Our wives have read the Bible to them in Bible stories. We claim to have been busy working. Now, women, I'm not leaving you out either. Women, we need women who need to be women, who provide the best love, the best care, and instruction for their children, and support their husbands. Folks, we need, again, traditional families made up of one man and one woman with the children, committed to one another for life. If we want to make America great again, we got to get back to the dinner table, or as I was taught, supper table. A place where families used to gather. Remember? We prayed around that table. We opened up our Bibles around that table. We ate together at that table. Listen, without smartphones, we need to get back to that old-fashioned dinner table. Come together as family. Family that honors God, lives life together without giving up on each other when the times get tough. To make America great again, it all begins with God using us, His church. It begins with putting away those cell phones, turning off those televisions, and focusing on those people that you say you love. We need to get back to a simple way of life. Fearing God, hard work, lending a helping hand to your neighbor. We don't have time for our families, much less our neighbors anymore, do we? Huh? Spending time with your family. All the family going to church together. Laughing together, crying together, living together, being a family. This is what we need to make America great again. What will make America great again? There's three things that we must do. I already mentioned one of them. We must return to God. We need to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our founding fathers recognized the need of faith in God to help them withstand the pressures from within and without. They knew that if their dream of an independent, free, democratic nation was to survive, they needed God to make it happen. But in America, recent decades, we've been steadily drifting away from God. If you're honest, you'll agree with me. America has become not only non-Christian, but it's become anti-Christian in so many ways. God has been driven out of government. God is being driven out of society. God's driven out of classrooms. God's driven out of our public lives. Folks, I know the hour is late. The America that you and I love is far down that road of unbelief and idolatry. But if God's people can stand up, speak up, this decline can be turned around. What I call America's suicide, it can be avoided. It can be averted. We can make it actually not happen with God. The second thing is, we need to bring prayer back into our families, back into our public life, back into our schools, our courthouses, our government office. When I was in grade school, all the way through high school, every morning started off the same way. We stood, put our hand over our heart, and said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And then either our principal or our teacher, or we all said the Lord's Prayer or some prayer. We begin every day in school with prayer. And folks, we did it unashamedly. But in 1963, you know what happened, don't you? The Supreme Court, what do they know? Rule that official, sanctioned, mandatory Bible reading and prayer was unconstitutional. How far wrong could any one group of people be? That was a sad day in our country. So what can Christian students and Christian teachers do today? Well, we can still pray. You can pray before class. You can pray in class. Sometimes silently. No one can stop you from doing that. I've always said that as long as there's tests, as long as teachers give tests, there's going to be prayer in schools. I know. Sometimes I went unprepared and prayer was my only last resort, you know. In case you don't know it, schools have changed. has changed. Also, our city, county, state, and federal governments have changed. We need all of them to return to God. To openly pray to God unashamedly. And I said God, folks. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Not Allah or Allah. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Not any of those false gods. Only Yahweh. The true one. The only one, the living God who created everything. That's freedom, folks. That's why we came here. Some of them try to even twist that. We came here to be able to worship our God, not somebody else's. It's all because of Him. All because of Jesus that we live and move and have our being. And we need to recognize that in every phase of our life. If we expect, if we have the foggiest chance of our nation returning to greatness, we need to do what the Bible says. If my people humble themselves, pray, seek my face, stop those evil ways. God says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive you sins. That's got to happen first. A lot of forgiveness. And I'll heal your land. But the second thing we do, it starts with prayer. Us praying. Thirdly, it takes God's people. Oh, no, Pastor. What can I do? I'm just one person. First of all, you have a responsibility as that one person, as a Christian person, to not be ashamed of God. Oh, am I stepping on a few toes this morning? We need to quit being so timid about letting other people know that we know Jesus. That we love Him. That we have faith in Him. That we're born again and we're going to heaven. What about you? Do you really want God to heal our land? Do you really want change in America? Sometimes when we look at the problems in America, all we want to do is point fingers. You know? Somebody else. Say the problems, oh, that's because of Washington, D.C. and all that crookedness there. Oh, for a time we said, oh, it's all because of Hollywood and all those crazy folks out there. Then we got on this kick, it's all about the liberals. They're ruining our country. And then the last 10 or 15 years, it's all about who's in the White House. But God says in His Word, the source of the problem is His house, the church house. Are you thinking, Pastor, you're kidding me? He says the answer also lies in the church, His house, His people. Were you aware that you had that kind of responsibility? You're responsible for America? Whittle it down a little bit. You're responsible for your family. And a little more, you're responsible for yourself too. This is instructions. This is an instruction manual here in 2 Chronicles. If you're God's people, humble yourselves and pray. Or might I say, pray humbly. Seek my face. Do we seek God a lot? Turn from your wicked ways. That's our responsibility. If you do that, he says, he will forgive your sins. He'll forgive America for turning its back on him. And he'll heal our land. And this country will be great again. You know, I think about this, and I think one of our problems in our nation today, and I think it's a huge problem, one that we probably aren't willing to admit, but there are people who think they are Christians, but they're not. Not really. Look at their lives. Said you'll know a tree by its fruit. Where's the fruit? Now, I didn't say where's the meat, but where's the fruit? Oh, then there's folks that live this double life. They put on a good performance on Sundays. It's like they put on a different set of clothes for Sunday. Say all the right things. But in their lives, they live a life that's completely opposite of what the Bible teaches that Christians should live like. So the process of making America great, God needs his people, you and me. Now, I hate to burst some of your bubbles this morning, but like I said, the solution to our problem today cannot be found in the White House. It can't be found in the State House. It can't be found in the courthouse. Now, it may be able to be found in the outhouse, but the answer, the solution to the problem today can only be found in God's house. Jesus said himself, my house shall be a house of what? Dancing parties? No. House of prayer. There's something else too. We need to make up in our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit that we won't go back. When we arrive, we won't go back to be in that church that's been asleep for years. The church that's kept its mouth shut, that's been silent for years. We won't go back to the church that's ashamed of the one who saved us. We won't go back to that old lame lifestyle of playing church. Now, if we get there. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul encourages us as Christians to focus on the present and the future. Don't be bound by your past. Now, I know we can learn from the past. But we need to be moving always forward. If you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. You ever heard that before? Paul's goal was to improve every step he took in this spiritual race that we're in. Let go of the past. Get rid of that old baggage. Leave yesterday behind. Focus on now and the future. And pledge never, never return to those old days of apathy. We had good intentions, but it just never panned out. A lot of scripture has things saying this. 2 Corinthians, Paul says we're a new creation in Christ. Philippians said we press toward the goal of heaven here on earth. Remember how Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt when she looked back. Scary thing. Also, in Luke's gospel, it says, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back. If they do, they're not fit for service in the kingdom of God. So it takes God's people looking forward. Now, you told me earlier, you said amen, that you want to make our land great again. You want our nation to return to God. You want change. Are you willing this morning to accept the responsibility to make it happen? Or do you want to let someone else do it? You see, once we leave that apathy, once we wake up, we don't need to go to sleep again. And I'm saying we won't go back. We can't go back. I know there was a message in here somewhere. Remember those fickle Israelites? You realize some of them even wanted to go back to Egypt? Can you imagine? They got out there in that desert and they weren't so happy. At least we had food back there. At least we had shelter over our head. How quickly we forget how bad it was. Now, it was new to them. It was scary. It was difficult. Sometimes it was uncomfortable. And all of it was unfamiliar to them. And same can be said true for us if we will follow God and accept our responsibility. But folks, my message today is not about the Israelites. It's about you and me. It's about those in-between places. You know, we're kind of in between. We sort of want things to be better. I mean, it's a good thing to talk a game, you know. Regardless of the nature of your in-between thoughts, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to go back. Sometimes we have a tendency to give up. Sometimes we have a tendency to get discouraged. We like the familiar. We like the easy. Now, sometimes God doesn't want to take us back somewhere from where we've been. But that's usually to teach us a lesson that we won't repeat that mistake we made. He clearly wants to lead us forward to where He wants us next. He wants us to lead us into God's tomorrows. Now, if you're in that in-between place, if you, you know, I like to see things better. Folks, let me tell you, if you're listening to God, He's leading you forward. He's not leading you backwards. Keep following Him. Keep trusting Him. Let Him lead your way. I promise you, He knows what He's doing. He always knows what's best. Trust Him. No matter how powerful Satan comes against you, and folks, he's come against me something terrible. Don't look back. Trust in the Lord. Surrender yourselves to Him. Yield to Him. Submit to Him. Walk with Him. Go with Him. Obey Him. And never, ever, ever look back. Go with Jesus. Go in His name. Go in His strength. Go in His love. And why do we do it? For the glory of Jesus. Then, my friends, America can be great again. As a God-fearing nation and witness to the rest of the world. Amen. God blessed Clay Fellowship Church. And God bless America that we love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close out our service this morning singing just that, a prayer. God bless America. The words will be on the screen, and you're welcome to stand. You're welcome to remain seated. This altar is always open. If the Lord has spoken to you and you need to come pray to Him and talk to Him, the altar is open.
God bless America. Guide her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, through the oceans wide with foam, God bless America. My home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Amen.
Go ahead and clap. Yay. Thank you, God, for this country. Amen. Go in the peace and love of God today. And don't go back. In Jesus' name. Amen.